Welcome to She's Interesting, a podcast about business, money, and well-being. I'm Rochelle Hariri. I'm an award-winning marketer, startup consultant, and I'm the host of She's Interesting. Thank you, everyone, for joining me today. I am in awe of the last 2 months. We are now officially on the final episode. This is our season finale for She's Interesting. It is episode number 13. It has been such a wild ride recording She's Interesting and bringing this podcast together. It has been a dream of mine to have a podcast, a form of being able to interview women and share their stories. If you skip back all the way to episode one, the She's Interesting, Why Is She's Interesting podcast episode, I really have a passion for storytelling, for shifting the narrative in entrepreneurship, and for giving women a voice and passing them the microphone. It is so important for us to continue to come together, create strong communities, help each other out, and make an impact when it comes to entrepreneurship and advancing in our careers. I am so thankful for everything that's happened at She's Interesting over the last 2 months. So if I rewind, we launched on October 3rd officially, and it was the craziest reception. I had so many messages, phone calls, texts of people saying, we're so excited that this is in the universe. We're here to support you and we have your back. And it's been incredibly humbling, I think, to see so many people that wanted this type of content in media and wanted this kind of content to make an impact for women in business. So October 13th, we launched. October 18th was the launch event for She's Interesting, where I partnered with one of Canada's leading PR agencies, Talk Shop. We hosted an incredible event. We had the most brilliant people in that room. We had some of the executives from RBC, Cineplex, so many different companies, and people showed up to really support a woman-led initiative and to support women in entrepreneurship. I'm just in awe, to be honest. During that time, since we launched, we now have a community of over 800 people supporting She's Interesting on Instagram. We've grown so fast. I'm absolutely in awe. And I'm so grateful for everyone who is being receptive to this kind of content and who messages me. I have screenshots. I actually have a folder on my computer that's all the screenshots and feedback I've received for everyone. On the days where I'm thinking, wow, I'm in over my head, I'm creating too much, I can't keep up with my own ideas and vision, I look at this feedback and it keeps me going. So thank you for everyone who reaches out. I don't forget it. I keep track of all your feedback. And I actually recommend that for everyone. If you're starting a business, even at work, to keep track of the feedback that you receive, put it in a folder called feedback, highlights, doing my best, living my best life, and always refer back to it. After we launched She's Interesting on October 18th and we had this massive launch event, it was highly, highly successful. So many incredible women showed up. We continued to post and publish. On a weekly basis, I've been creating content and publishing content for you all. And I lost track of the data and statistics, to be honest. I wasn't keeping track because I was so focused on making sure that the content was good and that we have the best guests possible, which we did. But I didn't even realize that at one point on Apple Podcasts, we reached the 14th spot. So we were ranked number 14 under the entrepreneurship category. It just blows my mind that this vision has come to life. This little seed of an idea that I had has sprouted. And it's creating this glorious garden, this beautiful community that we have ahead of us. We also signed on 5 incredible partners. So shout out to all of our partners who've supported us, from our studio sponsor, Creator Club, to Sidebar, to Bird & Bee, to Shift Collab, and then of course our partners at Talk Shop. Thank you everyone for coming together to bring this vision to life. I couldn't have done it without any of you. I don't even know where to start. There's so much to reflect on. We had the most incredible guests. And I think I would recommend for everyone for this new year to look into your network and see who you have in your network that is inspiring. Invite them to a coffee chat. Take them out for lunch. Connect with these incredible women to come together as a community and support each other in advancing entrepreneurship. This past season, we had incredible guests. They were highly ambitious. They are high-achieving powerhouse women, and they came on this show. They dedicated their time to tell their story, to provide their feedback, and to to share how they reached their level of success. I have learned so much sitting at this table across from these incredible women. It's helped me really upskill and uplevel the way that I think about entrepreneurship and business and what I want to do for She's Interesting for next season. I mean, we're really just getting started. There's so much more coming from this community. We're going to be doing more IRL events. We are going to be doing more workshops and ways to level up our skills. So if we take a step back and we look at each one of these episodes, there is so much information that we've gathered from these ladies. The second episode on the podcast, we had Aarti Sharma. So if you skip back to that episode, Aarti Sharma is the co-founder of Glee. She is also an entrepreneur and she's an investor. When Aarti came on the podcast, we talked a lot about her journey from her childhood growing up in Brampton to an immigrant family, all the way up until Shopify's IPO when she worked at the company, to starting Glee, and then to becoming Canada's top angel investor and investing in over 50 companies. Aarti Sharma is so impressive. She is so humble. She is so passionate about leveling the playing field for women and leaning into diversity in business. Some of the key takeaways I had from my conversation with her circled around her angel investing philosophies. One of the things that I will always carry with me is her advice when she said,
I got really good advice when I first started angel investing, which is if you want to be an angel investor, you just say you're an angel investor.
Her advice on starting an angel investing was so simple and it just got me thinking, yeah, if you want to do something, say that you're going to do it. If you want to be an angel investor, put it out there, tell your network, get your checks ready, understand what your check size is, what you want to invest in, and what your investment philosophies are. I think as women, we often feel like we're not ready to invest. We don't know enough to invest. But if you put your name out there, if you put it on your LinkedIn that you are an angel investor, people will come to you and you can start to build your thesis and determine what you want to invest in. We also had a really great conversation about her money mindset from when she was younger to creating more of an abundance mindset so that you're using your money to support you and the ventures that you want to produce and the things that you want to see in the world.
I've been working with a money coach. She's fascinating. I can for the podcast, put out her information, but
love to.
There are some people out there who are just, I love coaching. I love working with coaches. I love coaches for different reasons. Mm-hmm. I think if I have money, that's my self-care. You know, it's my sister will tell you Aarti needs to go get a facial and spend lots of money on it for sure. Yes, I do. But also for me, I'm that's kind of my self-care. And so I like niche coaches and therapists for different things. And so I have someone who works on our money story, right? Which is we all have a different relationship with money. I think especially being from an immigrant family. I also think being Punjabi and our great grandparents going through partition in India. It's when India and Pakistan were basically split up, it's a lot of our families had to leave everything they had and start life fresh. And so I think there's the body remembers, you know? Yeah. And so I think there's a lot of feelings around money, but I think that experience and hearing, you know, both sides, your grandparents talk about the fact that money can just go, right? Yeah. One day you could wake up with no money. And I still kind of, it's not a fear, but it's almost a reminder in my brain where it's and I'm getting goosebumps now thinking about the partition, but I think money can disappear, right? Yep. And so things can change. The world can change. We kind of had that beginning feeling when COVID hit, which is wow, this is one of those fundamental global events. And so I just think about money can come and go. What are your values? What do you do? What's your relationship with it? Mm-hmm. That's hard.
I also really loved the conversation with Samantha Diamond. So Samantha was on episode number 3. Samantha is the co-founder and CEO at Bird & Bee. It's a fertility startup based here in Toronto. She was able to raise capital in just 4 weeks. I believe they raised over $1.8 million, if I'm correct. And within 4 weeks, she was able to bring together a great group of investors and advisors who believed in her fertility startup to support her dreams and help her to make this into a reality. So if you think about Samantha's story, she started like many of us in the corporate world. She worked at MAC Cosmetics. She was in their communications department. She was there for quite a while. And then she took the leap and started her own digital and communications agency. She was at the agency for about 10 years before she decided it was time to sell and create a new venture. What I learned from Samantha's story is resilience. It is a deep drive to create an impact. And then also taking a leap when you feel like it's necessary. In Samantha's story, she talks about how she needed more flexibility in her life because she was creating a family. Her husband was going through medical school and they had to move around quite a bit. And so creating her own business is what enabled her to have flexibility in her life. And if I reflect on my personal journey or the journey of a lot of the women that I know, we are looking for more flexibility. We're looking for ways to work and to build a career and a business that works for us. We don't want the standard. We want to create our own work environment, our own work hours, and focus on the things that help us thrive and bring us to life. And so in Samantha's story, when she's talking about moving from the agency and selling it during the hardest time possible, which was in the middle of COVID, to finding the right buyer and then creating Bird and Bee and getting investment within 4 weeks, her story is incredible. It's one of resilience. It's one of going deep and focusing on her core values.
There are so many moments of feeling that hopelessness. How am I ever going to get to X, Y, and Z? And then it's exactly as you said, it's one step, one step, one step, one step. Mm-hmm. And you look back and you've walked a mile. And I think for us, we knew early days that fundraising was going to be essential because we started out and we have started out as a product-based business, a physical product-based business. So that requires inventory. And the fun part about inventory and selling physical products is that you have to pay for them before you sell them. So that requires some pretty significant investment because you can't just place tiny, tiny orders for things. You've got to place some pretty hefty orders in order to build up enough inventory to actually be able to sell it. So we did bootstrap the very beginning, you know, working on really establishing some of the basics, getting the company set up, getting some creative done, some branding done. And then when it was time to, all right, we've done all of our research, we're ready to start actually placing orders with manufacturers, that's when we knew it's do or die. We either get some money or this isn't going to work.
She spoke about her relationship with her husband and having clear communication and understanding that if I'm to sell my business and I'm to start this new company, Bird and Bee, things are going to change in our dynamic and in our lifestyle. And that really taught me a lot about communicating with your partner if you're in a relationship so that both of you are on the same page, whether it's your financials or how you spend your time together as a couple and with your family and your children.
You share the wins, you share the losses, you share the journey. And, you know, being able to balance a little bit of that with having somebody take on when you can't, or you take when they can't. It's a lot easier to dive into something, I think, when it's not just all on you.
There's so many common threads among these incredible women that have come on the podcast, whether it's their resilience, their ambition, or their drive to be successful and to try something new. This takes me to my guest from episode number 5. Tiffany Jansen. Tiffany is a developer advocate and she's the founder of Tiff in Tech, which is one of the foremost tech communities geared towards women in the world. Tiffany started as a model. She started as a model with no technical skills and she decided to upskill and go from being a non-technical person to a software developer. Tiffany's story is so inspiring because it shows us all that there is space for women in tech. There's opportunities for women to switch their careers and to join the technical workforce and to take up space. We talked a lot in her episode about imposter syndrome and how she came over the adversities of coming from a modeling background, which is very creative, to one that is very numbers driven and analytical.
I'm someone who, if I feel a challenge, I'm almost drawn to it. I get really excited. And that's one of the things that I was like, wow, I mean, why can't I do that? If all these guys are, you know, stereotypically, all these men are in this industry doing this, why can't I? So that actually kind of drew me more, I think, to the role initially as well of facing that challenge. But what I will tell you is in my first job as a developer, I caught myself after a few months really subconsciously changing how I dressed. Mm. I remember I was sitting in office and it was an all-male team on the technical team that I was working with. And I was wearing this really baggy t-shirt and just nothing, it just wasn't me.
Yeah.
And I kind of like, I went in the bathroom, I checked myself, I'm like, what am I doing? Like, and I realized I just over time was trying to fit in so hard with that group mm-hmm. that it even affected the way I was dressing and acting. And after that, I was like, it was kind of a wake-up call.
What's especially inspiring about Tiffany's story is that not only did she come from a non-technical background and build the skill set to become a software developer, but she also then advanced her career to becoming a developer advocate. All the while she's working full-time, she also created her own community, Tiff in Tech. Tiff in Tech is a massive community. I encourage you to check out Tiff in Tech on Instagram, on YouTube, and on TikTok. They are creating up-to-the-minute information about technology and advancing everyone's understanding of what's happening in the tech industry. Every single day, she was able to create this community with millions of people while working full-time. I think that goes to show that you don't need to quit your full-time job to create a side business if you don't want to. There's a lot of benefit to her having her full-time career, having Tiff in Tech, and she recently just launched an online training academy called Takeoff. We talked a lot with Tiff about her different streams of income, and that's something that I highly recommend us all to do, is to discover different ways of earning income. So if you're keeping your full-time job, that's fantastic. It gives you stability. If you're creating side incomes in investing or creating other businesses, it's also an opportunity to build your wealth, which is something that here on She's Interesting, we are very interested in. We talk a lot about money mindsets and growth. And Tiffany is a great example of how you can maintain your security while building on the side.
I see individuals, friends who their 9-to-5 is their main primary source, as many people. Mm-hmm. And especially this past year, past 2 years in tech, it's terrifying for a lot of them. They wake
Absolutely.
Up and they're Tiff, I don't know if I'm gonna have a job the next day. I have kids to feed and whatnot. So for me, though, having multiple streams has really helped be able to...
How many streams?
Okay.
this is going to be my next question. I'm like, I got to ask it right now.
All right. So my main stream is Tiff in Tech through okay. partnerships. And then I have my day job. Mm-hmm. And then I have like YouTube ad money, but that's very, it's not a major stream by any means. And then different things like investing mm-hmm. Is another stream. And then I'm working on one more business stream, which is hoping Exciting. To launch in October. But
what's really interesting about her story is she talks about how at the very beginning of her journey with Tiff in Tech, she started it just because she wanted to have commonality and find people who have similar interests as her, because she was feeling a little out of place in the tech space as a developer. And as she began to build this community, she realized that there's an opportunity to turn this into a business. So early on in her adventure with Tiff in Tech, she built the frameworks so that she could outsource specific tasks to her team members and to continue to grow this flourishing community.
So just keep on, you know, throwing and trying different things. And then also too, when it comes to community, I think a lot of times still, we forget that it's a two-way street. So mm-hmm. respond to those messages when you get DMs or when people send you emails, or get on a Zoom call with someone if they want to ask you some questions. And I still do that today, and not to the degree that, you know, I totally can, of course, but as much as I possibly can, because if you're building a community, it's to connect with others. So actually take time to do that. And I think sometimes we just think it's more about, it's a one-way street, which it can't be if you want to build a real community.
Tiffany's story is one that resonates with all of us. Looking for an opportunity to create more, to develop a business, and to maintain our security is highly important to a lot of women, especially later in our careers where it's difficult to give up a high-paying salary, great benefits, and that stability. I think Tiffany is like the perfect example of how you can try different businesses without losing the core of what is driving your income and your revenue.
Going to therapy was one of the best decisions I ever made. It helped me understand myself better, and I am where I am today thanks to therapy. That's why I'm thrilled Shift Collab is making therapy more accessible with virtual therapy sessions from coast to coast and access to over 125 social workers and psychotherapists who are ready to help you navigate life's challenges. Shift Collab modernizes the therapy experience and makes it human. They're not just an app or an Uber-like therapy network. They have rigorous quality control, and their mission is to provide valuable, actionable therapy. Shift Collab is amazing. They want to make sure your therapist is the right fit for you, so they offer a complimentary meet and greet. Once you've selected a therapist you vibe with, together you decide on your goals and meeting frequency. If you need someone to talk to, visit shiftcollab.com. That's shiftcollab.com. Great therapy, better humans.
I had the opportunity to interview Eva Lau. Eva Lau is an engineer. She's the co-founder and general partner at Two Small Fish Ventures. She was a former co-founder of Wattpad, who recently sold in the last 2 years for over $600 million USD. Eva Lau is an incredibly pragmatic thinker. And when she came on the podcast in episode number 7, we spoke a lot about her decision-making process. She was so open and vulnerable about the early days of Wattpad and what her and her husband had to endure before they reached massive heights of success. In the early days, before the iPad had even launched, her husband, Alan, had come up with the idea for Wattpad, which is basically enabling people to share stories online and to be storytellers and authors, but through a digital lens, not needing to go through the traditional publisher route. When they started Wattpad, it took them several years to get Wattpad off the ground. And there was a point in Eva and Alan's journey where they almost had to give up their home in order to continue to fund Wattpad. This is an incredible point, tipping point in her story and journey, and one that we can all relate to, because I think one thing that entrepreneurs struggle with a lot is understanding when to quit and when to persevere and move forward. And sometimes making these decisions can come from an emotional place, which is not what I recommend when you're making business decisions. And so having Eva on the podcast and sitting across from her and learning about her decision-making matrix completely blew my mind. I learned so much from her in that episode. She talked a lot about pragmatic decision-making and how in her early days at Wattpad, she had told her husband, we're giving this 2 years, 2 years, and we're sticking to it. And in order for them to give it the full 2 years, they had to understand what they're willing to risk and lose. She understood that she was willing to go down to zero, but not willing to go below that. And so her bottom line was, if we need to sell the house, we can sell the house to continue to run this business, but I'm not going in the negatives.
But I know how much I'm willing to lose, you know, at that moment. And I said, if we have to sell the house to pay off all the debt, I'm fine and cool with it. I'm okay to be zero, but I'm not okay to be negative. So I said, if we have to sell the house and hunker down in your mom's place or my mom's place, you know, yeah, it's not ideal, but we'll survive and I'll be okay. We'll start from zero again.
She also focuses on the spiritual side when she's making decisions. She talked a lot in this episode about how she prayed for signs and prayed for herself to understand what steps she should be taking for her business. And I often find that when it comes to decision making, we can either lean to be too pragmatic or too emotional, and we lose touch with the signals around us that are helping to guide us in the right decision so that we can ensure that we're taking the right steps for our business and for our life. And Eva's story is one of resilience, it's one of self-confidence, and it's one of belief. If you go back to Eva's episode, she also talks a lot about her relationship and the steps that her and her partner took to stay connected throughout these difficult times. And I think for anyone who is at a point in their business where they're deciding, should I move forward? Should I close up shop? It's important to pull on all the different levers around you to be able to make a pragmatic decision when you've considered what you're willing to risk, how much further you're willing to go, and when it's time to close up shop or continue to persevere.
This brings me to my next guest, who has had some incredible career pivots. She's gone
from the finance world into tech, and now is a personal brand coach and author. This guest from episode 8 is Sigute Zitigait. She is a good friend of mine. We share a lot in common in terms of living a multi-passionate life and bringing so much energy into the work that we do. In the episode with Sigute, we talk a lot about personal branding and how important it is to have your own identity outside of the corporate environment that you work in. As I mentioned earlier, we both left our tech jobs to pursue our own passions and create our own businesses, and that would not have been possible without personal branding. Sigute has some incredible advice on how to build your personal brand and why it's so important to seek the help of a coach to be able to do this.
I think this is where I really fell in love with personal branding. Mm-hmm. Because I was working in, let's say, at Shopify in corporate, and I could just see how nobody had their personal brand outside of, you know, internally at work. You were known for this role. And then these amazing entrepreneurs all had, I look at it as a runway. You build the runway with your personal brand, and then all of your offers, all of your products, any money-making things, just an airplane landing. And you just have that runway, and it's just constantly landing. Whereas then we're afraid to build a runway in corporate. And I think that's where kind of having one foot on each side, I decided I'm going to bring this together. I'm going to coach and help professionals build their runway with their brand and then do whatever you want. You want to go get another job, go get another job. You want to start another project, start another project. There's less upfront work when you already have the runway.
In my conversation with Sigute, it was really important for me to ask her one specific question, and it was particularly about seven-figure entrepreneurs. She works with a lot of seven-figure entrepreneurs in the coaching and spirituality space. And so it was important for me to find out, what are these people doing to set themselves up for success? Hitting a seven-figure online business is a dream for many of us. So I wanted to know, what are the steps to get there, and how do these people think differently from the rest of us?
When you work with seven-figure entrepreneurs or anyone really successful that's like 10 steps ahead of you, you realize that they're the same person as you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest thing. Like, everybody needs to just like be planted into a room of really successful people. Yeah. You realize they're the same and they have the same fears and the same thoughts. They just take action, right? They don't let it like weigh them down. They just kind of like move through it. Mm-hmm. So that's the biggest thing. In terms of how they approach their business, it's the investment mentality. It's, I can hoard, same as our conversation, instead of hoarding the money, and I have this much and it's growing, it's how much can I take and put there and like bet it on this idea,
yes,
or bet it on this person that I hired to do this thing for me, right? And it's using, again, using your money to grow for you and like planting these money seeds. And they're so amazing at that. They're amazing at not working for 10 hours every day on this one random thing that they could hire someone.
Yes.
They'll do it for them. And now they just have all this time to do the things that they're really good at.
Another exceptional guest that we had on the podcast is Fatima Zaidi. She is the founder and CEO of Quill. It's a full-service podcasting hosting platform, and it's a production agency. And Fatima is just a ball of energy and fire, and I loved having her on She's Interesting. With Fatima, we talked a lot about raising capital, and instead of going through the proper channels of venture capital and what's typically pushed on startup founders, Fatima showed us an alternate way to continue to sustain and support your business without diluting your cap table. Each year, Fatima's team raises up to $500,000 in government grants to help support her business. She also provided us with a full list that she's created herself. She is so amazing that she sent us this list. It's available on the website. You can go on there. You can see all the potential government grants available in Canada for you to subscribe to and submit your business case to. And if you can also support your business with government grants, it affords you the opportunity to maintain full power and equity in your business. And that's one of the key takeaways from Fatima's episode that will live with me forever. I learned so much from Fatima, and I also love that her motto in life is get rich or die trying.
If you're the founder of your company, you should be the highest paid person. Mm-hmm. Like, who are you sacrificing your net worth for and why? You're the one who's working the hardest. You're assuming all of the risk. You're assuming all of the stress. That should equate to being the highest paid person. So don't be that like cash flow martyr mm-hmm. by being like, I'm going to be the one who makes the least because that's what entrepreneurs should do. I think that is the most ridiculous sort of philosophy in entrepreneurship, that the founder and CEO makes the least because they have to sacrifice. Like, why? Why do you have to sacrifice?
A lot of Fatima's story has to do with an inner confidence, believing in yourself, and recognizing what you're good at and leaning into that specifically. She started in HR, moved her way into sales, and then she's now become a founder of a multi-million dollar business. It is so impressive. But the thing we can take away from Fatima's story is to lean into your skills, to understand that just because you studied HR, just because you studied marketing, just because you studied accounting, it does not mean that that is your path for the rest of your life. There's always an opportunity to pivot and take a leap and try something new, which reminds me of my last guest on She's Interesting, Sarah Stockdale. Sarah Stockdale is incredibly eloquent. She is a wonderful person to be around. She has a great energy. And she's also the founder and CEO of GrowClass, which is an online training company that is helping to upskill and level the playing field for marketers in the growth space.
Men kind of entered tech marketing, rebranded it, put a whole bunch of acronyms and numbers in place, and then said, these are high six-figure jobs now, and men are going to have most of them, or are going to lead at least the growth organizations. And that's bullshit. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So we have a no acronyms rule at GrowClass. We have a no dumb questions rule at GrowClass. And like, we're really intense about it. If there's anything that we ever say that folks are even a little bit confused about, we want to stop and explain and offer examples and case studies and make it as clear as possible. I have ADHD. So we have designed the program for folks who like education that is also entertaining, that is also storytelling, mm-hmm. and that is short, like short videos that you can consume yes. and then interact with real people and have a real community built around your learning. So it's our programs are like 98% women and have a huge diversity in terms of representation. And that's very different from the majority of tech education.
Yeah. And I think I saw on your website that I'm going to misquote it, but women or people who've gone through the GrowClass program, they've seen an increase in salaries by like $30,000.
Yeah. Something around like that. 27,600 is like the average within 3 months
that's
of
great.
Graduating. It's one of our goals, right? We want people to make more money, have more resources, have more power.
Yeah.
And that gives you freedom and opportunity.
Sarah's story is one of also, shocker, resilience and confidence. Sarah lived in a small town. She lived with her brother and her single mom. And they came from humble beginnings. And she worked at one point 30 hours a week while going to school. She is someone who has so much grit and who is so focused on her goals. She was able to move from a small town into a big expensive city like Toronto, work for startups, and then eventually start her own business where she can be her own boss. Sarah's story is incredible, and I learned so much from talking to her, and I'm so grateful that I had her on this podcast. As marketers, we talked a lot about the growth community and the shifts in marketing in the tech space. We talked a lot about the bro culture of how a lot of men come into the tech space. They've taken over marketing from a growth perspective, and they've used all these acronyms and kind of made it seem like there's like a bro community and excluded a lot of women from this narrative. And so what Sarah has done is she's created a business that's actually saying, no, this space is for everyone. We're going to teach everyone the acronyms. We're going to teach everyone the basics of how to get started in growth marketing. And we are going to empower people to learn how to grow their business.
A lot of growth, especially like blog posts you'll read or like podcasts you'll listen to, use a lot of acronyms. They make things feel very technical and very hard and scary. And there are definitely technical elements to it. You need to root what you're doing in data, but it's not scary. And if you remove the acronyms and you remove the bro culture and the Patagonia vest and the Excel spreadsheets, like it's actually quite intuitive. You just need the right people around you to help you learn the skills that you need to grow a company, which is the coolest skill set you could possibly develop.
I'm filled with so much gratitude for all the women that have come on this podcast and shared their stories and have been vulnerable with me to express how they were feeling during some of the most challenging times of their business and their life, and then to also share the wins with us all. I think it's a privilege to be able to have these conversations and to connect with one another in a way that would not have been possible, and to also bring you all along on the journey. That has been one of my goals for She's Interesting from the beginning. I wanted to take the WhatsApp group chat that I have with my friends, that I have with these brilliant women, and bring that to the masses. I know that some of you are listening and you may be in a small town, or you may be in a place where you're looking around for other entrepreneurs and other women to support you, and you're not finding that. You may be in a town where everyone works for the government, and so it's difficult to thrive as an entrepreneur. I want you to feel like you have a place with She's Interesting. We are all growing together and we're all learning together. And I said this earlier in probably episode one of the podcast, but we're not here to be perfect. She's Interesting is everything but perfect. It is just an environment where we can be ourselves and share with each other and motivate each other. Really, what we're doing is encouraging more women to stand up for themselves, to ask for more, to quit their jobs if that's what they want to do, to start thriving businesses, to get some of that VC funding. Because as you know, less than 1.8% of VC funding goes to women. And if they choose to bootstrap, to be able to have the resources and connections with government grants and programs that will enable them to do that. When women come together, businesses thrive. In fact, women-led companies far surpass the revenue and the growth of companies that don't have women in leadership positions. This says a lot, and I'm still shocked to this day that we have to continue to share these statistics, that we have to share these insights with the rest of the world. Women in Canada make up more than 51% of the population. So why is it that we have to continually push the narrative, share our stories? I hope that one day we get to a place where there's more equality for all of us. There's more opportunity in spaces of business for women. And that, you know what? We actually get an opportunity to join some of those investor WhatsApp chats that are filled with men who are sharing how to make more money with each other and sharing investment opportunities. But we have to start somewhere. And that's why we're starting with She's Interesting. It's a platform to share the stories of women. It's a platform to amplify our voices and to empower more women across the country and also across the globe, because really, She's Interesting has gone global, to get us to a place where we have a seat at the table, and not just have a seat at the table, but where we run the boardroom. Together we can make the difference, and I'm just getting started. Season two is going to be so incredibly fun. We're doing a lot of IRL events. We're going to get more women together. We are going to get more men invited into the community. Thank you for the 25% of you that are listening. I appreciate your support. Thank you for being allies. But I just want to say thank you to the whole community and for everyone that's been tuning in for these past 13 episodes, this one included. We are just getting started and the sky's the limit. So thank you for tuning in. Make sure to subscribe to She's Interesting. Leave me a review. Leave me a rating. It means so much and it really helps the podcast. And also don't forget to follow us at She's Interesting Podcast on Instagram. Peace out, and I will see you very soon for season two.